listening to Phil Sorrell talk about his experience working in a sandwich making factory gives me an impulse to say, wouldn't it be very interesting to share with each other stories about odd jobs we had done in our life? I'm certainly inspired by the big interest I had in the detail of what Phil was talking about, how work would be organised in a sandwich making factory. And I, you know, up until this, I've never spoken to anybody or listened to anybody talking about what it's like to work in a sandwich making factory. And it got me counting the number of factories that I've worked in my life. And I mentioned recently a tiny bit of the fact that I worked once in Lyons' bottling factory in London when I was about the same age as Phil. I think I probably was 19 years of age as a student. And I also worked the second factory I worked in was a chocolate making factory. And I'd like to really talk about both of these. I'm not sure whether I'll do them in one or two audioboos, but maybe I'll do them in two separate audioboos. So let me start off with the bottling factory, Lyons' bottling factory in Hammersmith, where I used to do the night shift for a while, and then I did the day shift for a while. I worked there for about 8 weeks. And stayed in a little bedsit, a tiny one-room place in Hammersmith, or in fact, to be exact, Ravenscourt Park, one underground stop down the line from Hammersmith. And I remember that I used to come out of the underground station and walk down a road and then take, a left turn. And that took me into this tiny place. And for some of the time that I was working there that summer, two of us shared the same bed. In other words, a friend of mine from university came over, and he'd be on the day shift and I'd be on the night shift, and he'd get out of bed and I'd get into the bed after he had left. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember how long I actually did that, but that was just to kind of set the scene. I think I probably lived that summer on porridge with a few raisins in it, which I'd eat at all meals. In other words, I was mad saving as much money as I could for my next year at university. And that to me was quite a challenge. You know, I like the challenge of trying to save up as much money as possible. But anyway, back to the factory. And there were a number of different jobs in the factory. Delivered into the back of the factory were bottles in cardboard box with compartments. You can imagine that. They're still a normal way. If you got a whole collection of bottles of wine, they'd be essentially the same thing. And they arrived in out the back of the factory, which was full of pallets of these bottles. And I seem to remember that it was you went out with a, what do you call one of these lifter things that you shove under a pallet, pump it up a little bit, and then pull the pallet into the factory. And then there was the job of lifting the boxes, opening the boxes. I have no idea how we opened the boxes. There must have been some class of a knife or something to open the boxes, but you then turned the bottles, which I think must have been placed downside up in the boxes. You turned them over, and they fell, all 12 of them, I'd say, they fell flat on their bottom onto the moving production line. So there were two jobs there, right? There was the, almost like a, what do you call it? Is it a hod carrier that helps a plasterer to make sure that the plasterer has enough plaster and delivers it at the right time? So there were sort of early traces, I suppose, of just-in-time production here. So in I'd come, deliver the stuff. I don't remember if I'm coming to one job that I loved most of all. But anyway, that was the beginning of the production line, if you like. And there were a whole raft of us turning bottles onto the line. The bottles went down along the line and everything was kind of automated. They went under a series of pumps and got filled up to the top. And then they went further down and they got capped with another machine. And, you know, Robinson's lemon barley sticker was stuck on the front. I suspect in those days the ingredients of Robinson's lemon barley were not stuck on the back. This was probably a long time before the modern packaging regulations came in, but I couldn't be sure about that. But anyway, that was Robinson's lemon barley or some other kind of orange squash. And after a while, the production line would stop, and some other companies, orange juice and lemon juice, etc., would come through the squirters. And I've always held the view that orange squash and lemon squash, no matter what company they're from, probably are identical. I can't be 100% sure, but I suppose there might have been some computerized... No, this was probably before the days of computers. So how on earth the mixture got into the pumps, I have no... Or the squirters, I have no idea. Onward went the bottles then to another job. And this was my favourite job of all, which was some of the bottles didn't fill fully. Some were half filled and some even came down the line without the top screwed on properly and all that sort of thing. So there was a job which I used to love, which was taking the half full bottles, I'll call them half full, they could have been at any level if you like, off the line. And the correct thing to do was to open up the bottle, put in, for the life of me, I can't remember where I got it from, might have been because I had a little hose to fill them up, put in orange squash, we'll say, into the bottle, screw the top back on, and onward went the bottle for its next part of the system, which was packing. I'll get to packing in a minute, but what I loved about this job was something that I suppose was a terrible thing from the point of view of my employer, because I used to get huge enjoyment out of, sometimes bottles would be damaged and they'd be cracked or there'd be chips off them, and you know, you were part of the quality control mechanism as well at this place. But I used to get huge enjoyment out of the sound of cracking glass. You would throw a bottle of glass into a large plastic container, at least as big as a modern rubbish bin. And you would slowly, during the shift, fill the container of glass. And some of them would have orange juice in them still. So as you were filling up the huge container of broken glass, you would bend it over on its side and pour orange juice onto the floor of the factory. And that would run down drains. But I admit that I enjoyed so much the sound of breaking glass that I would have little competitions with myself to make the job, you know, stimulating and, you know, challenging. I would have little competitions with myself to see how long it would take me to fill a huge container and, you know, about, you know, how many bottles I could get into a container. I don't remember counting them, so I can't tell you approximately how many. But I certainly got quite a kick of satisfaction. I'm getting out of a car now. I'm going to meet John Thanam for a lunch in a place called Nash 19. That's another story. Those of you who know Cork will know what I mean. But anyway, that was a great thrill. There are a few sounds in my life that I really love. Another one is the sound of teeming rain on glass, on a window, when you're in bed. That's another story for another time. cracked glass was a great one. And then, of course, the job involved at some stage refilling or removing, I can't remember which, the big container out of the way and replacing it with another one. I suspect that the way it worked was that, you know, I filled one container and somebody else's job was to remove the container and supply me with another one. But I don't know whether the division of labour was quite as... Certainly, I think we had more functions to perform than that, so I suspect that I maybe did both. Although I think, when I think back on it, logically, somebody else had to remove the big glass container because the production line wouldn't be shut down. And if I... Well, maybe there were more than one of us doing it. Anyway, however it worked, it worked. And that was a great kick out of that. I don't know where the... I don't remember how the supervisors worked in terms of, you know, catching you doing this, because this was undoubtedly not meant to be done. Your proper job was to carefully refill them and not to waste the glass. Although I knew nothing about recycling in those days and I had no idea what happened to all this broken glass. So now when I think back on it, I'm sure it was recycled. It was a kind of interesting primitive form of quality assurance, I suppose, in that the operative on the production line had a role in relation to quality assurance as well as production at the same time, rather than the classical method of, you know, inspecting out quality defects at the end of the production line. Anyway, that takes me into an area that I'm only just touching on in memory, because at one stage I was into total quality management. But that came many years later. Anyway, that was my factory, first factory experience. I remember it partly because there was overtime. There was a good deal of money saved that summer in London. And it was not my first visit to London, probably my third visit to London. But that summer was a very heady summer. 1970, at the end of working in the glass bottling factory, I just to finish off this audiobook, I hitchhiked up to Harwich and I took a boat to Kristiansund in the south of Norway, and I hitchhiked to Bergen, and I hitchhiked on from Bergen all the way back to Amsterdam, and got back to London 2 weeks later and went to see, for the second time, Hair. That'll give you an idea of when it was. Remember, this is the dawning of Aquarius. Aquarius. Anyway, I've got as far as Princess Street in Cork. I'm close to Nash 19, which has got to be one of my favourite places in the whole of Cork. And I wish you a very good day. And I wish you a very good month. And I wish you a very good year. Cheerio. Bye-bye. And thank you to Phil Sorrell. Thank you very much to Phil Sorrell for opening up this whole theme of when you last worked on a production line in a factory. Bye.